to have an area of a city that used to be completely irrelevant morph into something special is kind of the heart and soul of LA.
This area of Los Angeles just has so much history because it did start over 100 years ago.
There's amazing architecture all over the city.
It has so many different things happening all at once that you can't quite put your finger on what makes it so magical.
Welcome to Downtown Los Angeles, a community built on creativity. My name is Minya Oh, also known as Miss Info. I'm a journalist and I cover everything from food to music to fashion. This is The Special, a podcast series where we get to know a city by learning how it started out, how it's evolved, and how its communities, restaurants, and art scenes have made it what it is today. Inspired by BMW's first ever X7, The Special is a new collaboration between two expert storytellers, New York Times T Brand Studio and The Infatuation. Together, we're going to examine culture and food in a way that only we can. When you look at a map of downtown LA, you see a nice solid line drawn around just about 5 square miles. But when you're in this neighborhood, you realize it's made up of a bunch of diverse mini-hoods. There's Little Tokyo, the Fashion District, Chinatown, Bunker Hill, the Flower District, and my personal favorite, the Arts District. People come from all over LA and beyond just to eat at its restaurants, check out the galleries, and visit the markets. It wasn't always like this, but downtown LA is a destination spot now, kind of like a city within the city. Today, you'll meet four people who have flourished in downtown LA. They've each carved out their own niche and helped define the area. An entrepreneur, an artist, a florist, and a chef. They've seen this area evolve from a place that emptied out each day when the offices closed to the vibrant and colorful hotspot that it is now. Downtown LA reveals a more multidimensional Los Angeles. Something more than just movies and palm trees. After we've heard their stories, our guests will sit down with the chef and share a dish he's prepared. Something inspired by downtown LA with ingredients he's gathered right here. Think of it as downtown LA on a plate. That's The Special.
My name is Joseph Centeno. I'm a chef owner of 4 restaurants in downtown LA.
Joseph's restaurants helped bring people into a neighborhood that never used to be a draw for diners. One of his places is called Orsa and Winston, and that's where we're going to have dinner tonight. To prepare our special, Joseph gathers his ingredients at a farm with a conscience.
We're at an urban farm that had its beginning from wanting to grow vegetables for the homeless shelter directly across the street.
The urban farm is located between the railroad tracks and the Los Angeles River. Looking around, it's all just warehouses, freeways, and parking lots. But tucked in the middle of all that gray is this oasis of green.
I'm here as a chef to be able to be a part of something like this is important, to be able to give back to the community in whatever way I can. And it's exciting to be able to use the ingredients that are grown just 4-5 miles away.
Joseph is at the farm today looking for radishes, which he gets to pick right out of the soil.
So excited. I get to pick my own size, like the specific sizes that I would like to use for tonight's dinner service. There's like a Japanese black radish and a sunjo and the black naro. The black radishes tend to be pretty spicy and delicious.
The rest of the recipe depends on what's fresh, what's in season, and what's available.
I mean, it's important that we, the restaurants, are sourcing humanely grown fish and meat, but it's extremely important that the vegetables that we're using and any of the flowers and plants are treated with the same respect and grown in the same manner. And to have it be like so close and to be biodynamic and to be part of such a great cause behind it, I mean, couldn't ask for more as a chef.
Okay, Joseph is off to prepare his radishes and the other ingredients that will be part of the special tonight. We'll join him at Orson Winston later. But for now, we've got more people to meet, including two local artists who have seen the many changes to downtown LA firsthand. Downtown LA is home to many small business owners and craftspeople who believe in good design and aesthetic.
Hi, my name's Ellen Bennett, and I'm the founder and CEO of Headley & Bennett.
Ellen attended culinary school and worked as a line chef at an LA restaurant when she found her true calling as an entrepreneur.
I had this simple idea of making the best apron for every single line cook and chef in the country.
She saw an opportunity to replace flimsy throwaway restaurant aprons with beautiful, well-designed garments. And in just a few short years, Ellen's simple idea is now a multi-million dollar empire.
I think there's something very special about Headley & Bennett having been started in Los Angeles because it's made here. And if I had not made our first aprons in Los Angeles, I don't know that I could have gotten this company off of the ground.
Ellen's factory is located on South Santa Fe Avenue, just a few blocks away from the river. And it is a wonder to behold.
We are at my apron factory, and it is a magical Willy Wonka land with everything from a manufacturing floor to a zip line to a beautiful kitchen we built out.
Inside the expansive space is a slide, a swing, an indoor treehouse, and yes, a zip line.
When I got this space, not gonna lie, I designed the community area around where the zip line would go.
The walls are covered with her brightly colored aprons. There's this row of industrial sewing machines and an espresso maker that is running constantly. The whole building, from manufacturing to sales, is open concept to make it more inclusive and fun.
Our customer service team sits out of tree houses. We've got Crystal and Anna over there. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Ellen and her staff are proud of the success they've achieved with their handcrafted workwear. Her team is like an extended family, and they are big believers in supporting their local community.
Entonces no hay forma de hacerlo nosotros.
No, porque reemplazar la piel por eso, ¿no? Ajá. Cada cierto tiempo ya la navaja se daña.
Ah, okay. Gracias. I'm also half Mexican, and a lot of Latino community is here. So my first sewers were Mexican, and, you know, I ran into their little sew shop, and I was like, por favor, ayúdame a coser esto. And they were like, oh, she's my people. I got to help her figure this out. And because of that, my company started.
After 6 years in this location, Ellen is in love with the way that the neighborhood has transformed.
LA was overlooked for a long time. It was like, whatever, LA, they don't know what they're doing. And then all of a sudden, LA became what it is today. It just happened, but it didn't. It didn't actually just happen. We just kept working really hard at it. And all of a sudden, they started noticing when all the magic kept spewing out of here.
Our next stop in the X7 is just down the road, but it's almost as if we're going back in time. That's where we'll meet a filmmaker who's been documenting life in the Arts District for decades. Downtown LA's first golden age was in the 1920s as a business and finance center. A lot of the best architecture you see now is from that time. Gorgeous Art Deco buildings and modernist design. After World War II and the development of LA's freeways, the population shifted towards the suburbs, and the whole area hollowed out. But something interesting happened along with that shift. A new artistic community took over, taking advantage of cheap rent and vacant space to do their work. Downtown LA, in particular the Arts District on the eastern edge of the neighborhood, became home to painters, writers, filmmakers, dancers, and actors. Really anyone creatively minded. And they gave new life to the old industrial buildings of the past.
My name is Stephen Seymour, and we are located at the American Hotel at the corner of Hewitt and Traction.
Stephen has lived here for more than 40 years, He directed a documentary called Young Turks about the wild lives of artists in the 70s and 80s, and it became a cult classic. He not only documented their lives, he lived it too. And it all took place at the American Hotel and its surrounding neighborhood.
And everything down here was, it was fast, it was cheap, and it was punk. And that's the way we pretty much lived while we were making our art or our music or whatever it is we were doing.
Stephen has some great stories to tell about the adventures and misadventures of living in the Arts District in the early days.
One of the artists that lived here, who was a musician, sort of, and he also went on to be an animator and a writer, Kyle lived in this room right here, right above the door to get into Al's bar. You would order up, "Hey, Kyle! I'll have 2 spring rolls." And Kyle would go, "Okay," and he would be up there on his table and make you the spring roll and deep fry some rice, stick it in a pail with a string, and lower the bucket down to you. You would grab your spring rolls and food and shove your $3 back into the bucket, and Kyle would take it back up into his room right there.
As the community evolved over the years, the value and mindset of the artists became part of the DNA of the Arts District.
The man walking down the street toward us right now is the artist who created this mural.
All right.
This is Peter Greco.
Well, this particular one I call Day of the Dead.
Peter is an artist who combines calligraphy with street art to create some of downtown LA's most iconic murals. His Day of the Dead painting on the front of the American Hotel is 18 feet long. On a background of green and red, there's a gold mandala filled with white script.
I call this my Toltec style of calligraphy. A lot of people think it's Arabic, but it's not. It's based on Gothic fracture from like the Middle Ages.
Peter may have been inspired by a typeface from the Middle Ages, but what he wrote down in his painting is thoroughly modern.
See how I sort of incorporated my Instagram address? Sort of.
Locals like Peter and Stephen want to make sure that no matter how big a draw downtown LA becomes for shoppers and diners, there will always be room for the artists who gave the Arts District its name.
I own a building down here with artists in it, and I do everything I can to keep an art atmosphere as part of the building. I want artists living in my building. I want people that actually create music and painting and sculpture and computer graphic work and make art.
After all, what would the Arts District be without any artists? In recent years, the area has experienced another artistic renaissance. Now, it's known for its galleries, bookstores, live workspaces, and more.
I remember there was one artist that painted a line right down the middle of Hewitt Street, and it said, "The line between art and life."
We'll talk more with Stephen. He'll be at Joseph's restaurant later for dinner. But we've still got more to check out before then, including the oldest flower market in America. All that is still to come here on The Special. In this show, we're telling stories about people in downtown Los Angeles who've come together with a bunch of smart ideas and are assembling them into something legendary. That's also what BMW has done with the first ever X7. Yes, it has all of the comfort, luxury, and power that you love about BMW. But this is something new. It is the biggest BMW ever. You can set it up to seat 7 or 6 if you want to go with all-electric captain's chairs. If there was ever an SAV that deserved to be in a category called The Special, the BMW X7 is it. Visit www.bmwusa.com/X7 to learn more or schedule a test drive. Welcome back. Before we head to the flower market, let's check in with our chef, Joseph Centeno, in his kitchen at Orsa and Winston. he's brought the bronze fennel, radishes, and other produce back to his restaurant to start preparing tonight's special. Joseph's signature style involves putting together surprising combinations of flavors. It's the result of having dozens of influences.
I come from a very diverse family background. Mexican, Spanish, German, French, Irish, English, Polish, and Native American.
He started in a vegetarian restaurant in Austin, Texas, and then went to the East Coast to learn French cuisine.
So I worked in New York for about like 5.5, 6 years, and the reoccurring thing that kept happening was that we were getting all this amazing produce that wasn't coming from the East Coast necessarily, but most of it was coming from California. Moving to LA was just kind of the next step for me.
Joseph wanted the chance to do the fine dining cooking that he enjoyed, but he knew it was only accessible to a certain demographic. He got a position as a chef in Koreatown. The restaurant did a $30 tasting menu, but it used higher-end ingredients like uni and spot prawn. This is when he realized there were folks who wanted that fine dining experience, but who couldn't have it because it wasn't accessible enough.
It was one evening, and this is where it was like the light bulb went off. And it was a Taiwanese family. It was the daughter's. She just turned 18. She had heard about the tasting menu. And it was like the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles. And it was like a 4 or 5 course menu. And it was a price point that was accessible. Like, I just knew this is where it was headed.
At the time, downtown LA had plenty of restaurants for big expense accounts, plus lots of cheap takeout shacks, but very few places offered quality food at a mid-range price. Joseph used that formula to open 4 different restaurants, all here in the same neighborhood, and each one of them adds a distinct new flavor to the community. Before dinner starts, we've got one more stop to make in the X7. Let's head over to the original Los Angeles Flower Market to pick up a beautiful bouquet for the dinner table and meet some of the people who work there.
My name is Casey Coleman Schwartz, and my sister and I are Flower Duet.
Casey and her sister are florists who buy their flowers from the market. This has been a landmark in LA since the turn of the 20th century. It was started by a group of enterprising growers looking for a more efficient way to sell and distribute their highly perishable products.
The Japanese started in 1912, and then the Europeans kind of came in 1919, and then they all decided to get together in one particular area because they were just so big. It was expanding extraordinarily. They got this giant space here where we are now on Wall Street, which makes me laugh because Flower Street here is the financial district and the Wall Street here is the flower district. So I love that.
Over the decades as the city grew, the original Los Angeles flower market continued to adapt and thrive by putting the needs of its customers first. Today, the market has become a major tourist attraction in the heart of the flower district. It's become so popular, Casey even has a side business as a tour guide.
We first started doing the tours with my sister's friends. They all wanted to know, oh my gosh, I want to do this. And so we started bringing them. And they were like, this is amazing. I would never come down here by myself.
It can be a bit intimidating. This isn't the flower store at your local mall. This is 50 major vendors servicing thousands of professional florists.
That you can't just buy one of this and one of that. I mean, you have to buy a bunch. Everything is sold in bunches. So most everything is bunches of 10 stems. And there's really not too much haggling done here. I mean, the price is what it is, and everybody's in the same sort of family.
Most of Casey's work is fancy weddings. But today, she's working with a much younger clientele.
I'm teaching the 5th grade kids how to make corsages and boutonnieres on Thursday. So I'm going to be grabbing some carnations because they're hardy. They come in lots of fun colors and they smell good.
Morning, guys. How are you? Good. Carnations come in about bunches of 25. And these are super fresh right here, these white ones, because they're still really, really tight. Grabbing some white wax flowers to add to the...
I can take it there.
Okay. I think that's all I need today, actually.
All right, yeah, no problem.
Great.
It's not often you can pick up everything on your shopping list and still walk out feeling more energized than when you started. But that's what Casey says this place does for her.
When you walk in that door and see the color and the textures and the smells and the hustle, but it's joyful. It's not crazy. It's just, it's lovely.
Okay, we've got our gorgeous bunch of flowers, and now we're heading back to Orsa and Winston, just a few blocks away from the flower market. Joseph is adding the finishing touches to his meal.
I think the dish I'm going to do is going to be a combination of everything that we got today. They had some dry marjoram that they use for tea. I'll make a pesto out of. It's pretty exciting.
Now the moment we've been waiting for. It's time to try the special. Joseph has invited Steven Seemeyer, the filmmaker, and Ellen Bennett, the apron designer, to join him for dinner and to talk about the neighborhood they all share.
40-something years, so I was one of the first artists down here when studio space was a nickel a square foot.
Wow. You beat me on time as far as being in downtown, but in the 6 years that I've been in downtown, holy cow. The new downtown's pretty amazing because it still has a lot of like the culture and the essence and the bones.
And here comes Joseph, who presents the most colorful dish.
Great to have y'all in. So here you have everything from baby fennel, there's nasturtium, you have the shunjiu radishes, you've got pea shoots, you've got tiny baby carrots. The only thing that's not from the farm is the abalone, which is sustainably raised in Central California in Monterey Bay.
First of all, it looks like a secret garden. I mean, you're like diving into a magical wonderland and finding little magical mini treats like this, the little carrots. Holy cow, those are so delicious.
They have a really unique taste, the black radishes.
Yeah, they're delicious.
Wow.
And I actually...
Did you braise them?
No, we just did on the Bincho grill. So we cooked it at a really high heat for a short period of time. I still wanted to maintain the integrity of the texture, but just add a little bit of heat to just kind of change it and give some different layer to the salad.
He's like, it's a salad, but you're like, no, that's like a special salad. It's like a Joseph Centeno salad. He has a way of like going off the beaten path at all times with everything.
The dressing itself was a real subtle flavor.
Yeah, that's what it does. It's like, oh yeah, this is a citrus, but it's not just any citrus. It's a special citrus, and this is why it's so great.
If I'm working on a painting and I'm laying in a background, and I'm working on something very specific, sometimes you will want something like a big area that's very subtle and very muted. It doesn't grab you, but you have to slow down. A chef that's making food can be just like an artist. An artist can just throw something out there quickly that's fast and commercial, and then there are chefs that could make something that's very subtle and beautiful, you know.
Subtle and beautiful is not the description many people give downtown LA when they first arrive. Usually you'll hear words like gritty, edgy, artistic. But so much has changed in this part of LA that it feels like its own special metropolis. When you take the time to meet the locals, see where they work, shop, and eat, you start to understand there is a subtle and beautiful background to this amazing neighborhood. That's it for this episode of The Special. We've gone from Seattle to downtown LA, and still to come on our six-city tour, we're visiting Houston, Philadelphia, Greenville, and in our next episode, Minneapolis. You'll hear how the unique blend of cultures in this Midwestern city gives it a scene all its own. BMW's first ever X7 inspired The Special by bringing together a new collaboration between two expert storytellers, the New York Times T-Brand Studio and The Infatuation. Together, we examine culture and food in a way that only we can. Visit www.bmwusa.com/x7 to learn more or schedule a test drive. And make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Subscribing is free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Minya Oh. Misinfo to all my friends, including my new friends in downtown LA. Join us next time on The Special.